James Outman makes his case for the Dodgers. Tony Gonsolin's trying to get through a full season. And Andrew Friedman spoke on some of the things involved with the Dodgers. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. And make sure to subscribe in each of those places and never miss a day, because you know we're not going to. This is your first time listening or watching. I'm Vince Amperio, and there's usually two of us here. Jeff Snyder is out for the day, so I'll be rolling solo today. We're both lifelong Dodger fans that cover the team, have spent time a lot of time at Dodger Stadium, all over Dodger Stadium, and pretty much live and breathe with the Dodgers. So we're here to bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue, and we're here to talk about the Dodgers pretty much every weekday, or not pretty much, every weekday morning for about 30 minutes, and that's what we're going to get into today. Dodgers. No real news. Obviously, games are going on, and nothing really stood out this weekend. The Dodgers, are rolling along. It's spring. Some of the guys are going to start leaving for World Baseball Classic soon. Clayton Kershaw threw on the B side of a game. He's expected to throw in the Cactus League game next. Other than that, it was we saw a lot of guys this weekend, but we're going to get into one of those guys, and that guy is James Outman, who is making his case to be not only on the Dodgers opening day roster, but to possibly be the starting center fielder for the Dodgers. And he had a strong weekend overall. He's had a strong spring so far. So far in the spring, he's hitting .462 with the home run, 4 RBI, 3 runs scored. Very small sample size again, 13 at-bats. What is interesting is that he has the same amount of hits as he did last year through 13 at-bats in the regular season. So in 2022, he hit .462. As of right now in spring training, he's hitting .462. And as we saw last year, he started off hot and then struck out 7 times in a row. This time it's a little bit different way he got to the 6-for-13. But regardless, it's one of those things where, you want to be excited because there's somebody stepping up in a position that you need. But you also want to temper expectations a little bit. And, it's hard to find that balance of, how deep do we take spring training results, and, how else are we going to figure out that James Outman is the guy? James Outman could hit .400 the entire spring. And if the Dodgers believe that, one, he has options, so that doesn't help his case. But two, they believe that, he still has a lot of swing and miss, or, we still don't know if he can do this every day against major league pitching, or whatever the case is, he could still find himself not on the opening day roster, or, whatever the case. But in a spring where pretty much a lot of the positions are open in terms of center field, left field, and some of these bench roles, he's doing everything he can, and there's no reason for him not to be on the opening day roster, not to be starting in center field on opening day as of now. Now he can go 0 for his next 10, 0 for his next 15, and then things can change. What I have seen a lot of, and it's hard, like I said, not to find that balance of, okay, being excited, but also realizing what it is, is a lot of people saying, if you believe James Outman should have got more of a chance last year, I can understand that. But to base that on his first 13 at-bats in the major leagues, especially considering the last 7, he didn't get a hit and he struck out, it's not necessarily, if you see a guy start 6-for-6, yeah, okay, good, good, good. And then he goes 0-for-7, 7 strikeouts, and I'm not necessarily clamoring for him to be in the everyday lineup or be up on the roster or anything like that. It's, he had a hot start, and whether it's pitchers figuring him out real quick or he just, that's the way he is, whatever the case. But here it's a little bit different. Like I said, they don't necessarily have somebody that's entrenched in outfield, especially in center or left. last year, Outman would have had to beat out Bellinger. And regardless of how bad Bellinger was, you didn't see him getting replaced by a rookie, especially a rookie that not as highly touted and not really expected, you know, knowing that he has that swing and miss. I mean, even in the minors, he has some swing and miss and has a strikeout issue. So, you know, it wasn't going to happen last year. And for people to kind of be a little bit revisionist and say, oh, you know, the Dodgers could have had this last year, we don't necessarily know what we could have had. Now, could he have been good? Yes. And I don't doubt that he would have been good or could have been good. But it's just, you know, the reality of the situation is that we didn't know. And, you know, at that point, as bad as he was, Bellinger was an established big leaguer. We know at the very least we learned what his floor was, I guess. But with Outman now, doing what he's doing and how he's performing, then yeah, he deserves to be on the team as of now. It's a long spring. You know, we still have 3 more weeks of this, but as of now, he's performing and he looks good and defensively. And, you know, he's hit a variety of different balls. He's hit some, you know, opposite field. He's pulled some. He's looked pretty solid overall. And it's encouraging for us as Dodger fans because, like I said, that we are looking for somebody to kind of step up and take that role. And the other part is he only has 3 strikeouts in those 13 at-bats, 17 plate appearances, only 3 strikeouts. So whether it's the competition he's facing or not, he can only do what he can do against this opposition. And, I mean, that's just the way it is. If you look at Baseball Reference, they have a pretty cool stat in the spring training category of opponent quality, which is the quality of opposing pitchers or batters faced. His is 7.4, which is in between AA and AAA. Again, he can't, you know, change that. He can't do anything more than what he's doing. But again, he's facing AA and AAA quality based on this metric rather than an MLB quality or even AAA MLB quality every day of the spring. So, yeah, 462, just a matter of like, you know, what does that 462 come down to when he's facing opponent quality 2 points higher than what he is now? And can he, you know, keep up at least getting the ball in play? Because with his speed, with some of the new rules, you know, he hit a home run, or not hit a home run, he hit a single to the right side over the second baseman's head, which in a normal year, maybe a shift, that would have been an out. But now if he can, you know, find that spot, if he can go the other way with some power, you know, pull balls for some power that are in on him, then, yeah, he can be a guy for the Dodgers. And like I said, as of right now, he's that guy. Will having options hurt him? That's the only reason I could see him not starting in the majors. Like, you know, they want to get Hayward out up there. They want to get Trace Thompson just because I don't believe Trace Thompson has any options left. He might have one, but I don't think so. James Altman does have options. And, you know, you can start in the minors and come up and down and, you know, they can – put those other guys out there first, see what they got. And let's just say if Hayward's a bust or Trace Thompson's not hitting or whatever, okay, Outman, come up and you're going to be the guy. But if Outman's not going to be the guy that's playing at least 4 or 5 times a week, then I think they would start him in the minors just based on the fact that he has options. But the way it's looking and with the Gavin Lux injury, basically opening up a spot, not for him to play shortstop, but opening up a spot in the lineup, I think, at least on the roster, I think Altman's going to start in the majors the way he's going. And I'm looking forward to seeing if he can keep this up. And, you know, we saw him put in the work in the offseason, or at least what he showed on social media. And we know that, you know, he's one of the hard workers that based on what guys have been saying. And if that all comes to fruition, then that's good for us, good for the Dodgers. And hopefully we get a guy, that can be somebody, especially in the outfield. So that's going to do it for the Outman talk. We're going to get into some Tony Gonsolin talk. First, let's talk about Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, and you got to try a Built Bar. Got to try Built because Built is actually healthy, is actually tasty, and they can help you get through whatever you need to get through. If you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to build some muscle, if you're trying to, you know, basically almost whatever you're trying to do, Built Bars can help because they taste good. They're covered in 100% real chocolate, and they have some great flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, brownie batter. You know, they have different flavors coming in and out throughout the year to kind of match the season. So go get you some Built Bars. They taste great. They have only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein, And you can always go to built.com and get you some. But if you don't want to wait, you can go to your local Sam's or Walmart and go to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box. I got 4-bar boxes, 13-bar boxes. Get what you need. Get some Built Bars in your life and thank us later. All right. So Tony Gonsolin pitched on Friday for the first time this spring. He got into the third inning. He, you know, looked okay. The main goal for him, according to Dave Roberts, was to get into that third inning. He struck out 2, gave up 3 hits, 2 1/3 scoreless against the Angels. He's going to continue to stretch out. But Gonsolin has a little bit different goal this year than maybe in the past. Obviously, in the past, his goal was to try to make the team. But last year, coming off the year that he had, coming off an all-star year, but ended a little bit, you know, well, ended badly for him in terms of the injury that cost him the last 2 months of the season. Essentially, he came in and pitched in the playoffs, but didn't pitch very well. He got knocked out in the second inning of Game 3 of the NLDS. So this is what he had to say about kind of what he did in the offseason, kind of what he's looking forward to this season. He said, speaking on last season, he said, yeah, it sucked. I felt like I got cut short back-to-back years in 2021 and 2022, but that was last year. I'm trying to put that past me. I got over it fairly quickly in the offseason. I'll just go out there and focus on this year. The goal this year is to go wall-to-wall, go from start to finish, leave the results out of it. Whatever they are, just go out there and try to do my best. And, yeah, I mean, for a guy like him who's dealt with injuries now and hasn't had a full major league season, I can see the wanting to go wall-to-wall and everything else. The results, I believe he's still, you know, the results don't matter part is more of a, I believe I'm good enough to be, you know, an adequate, decent, good major league pitcher. And I'm not necessarily worried about replicating my all-star season, you know, having an ERA under 2.5 and 16-1 or whatever the case is. I believe he's just a matter of, I want to get through the entire season and I know that I'm good enough where the results don't necessarily matter. I don't need to be an all-star. I just want to get through the entire season. And that's understandable for a guy like him, especially with this Dodgers team. You know, like I said, if he's not expected to be the number one guy, he's not expected to be the number two guy. And, you know, depending where you're at, you know, and depending how Dustin May is, you're maybe not even expected to be a number three guy in terms of quality. But if he's a 3-5 starter and, you know, you're not expected to be an all-star when you're a number 3-5 starter. If it happens, it happens, but it's not expected. And for Gonsolin, you know, he's had an interesting career and he's always been good. But, yeah, he's had issues either with injury or whatever the case, and he hasn't really performed well in October and for various reasons. But it's one of those where he talked about it. He said, quote, I didn't know what my workload was going to be last year, coming off of 21 being hurt most of the year, and then we had the lockout and all that stuff. So not being fully built up, coming into a new spring, short spring. Having last year be what it was, as opposed to having this offseason be what it was, a full offseason and a normal spring training, it's been pretty nice. And that's something that we also don't really think about, you know, and or maybe at least I don't think about it in the moment is, you know, last year was a shorter spring in terms of when they came into camp. It wasn't a shorter spring. You know, Gonsolin didn't have the same amount of time off as every other Dodger, in terms of when the season ended and when the next season started. But you don't necessarily get ramped up before you start coming into camp or not too much. And, you know, for a guy like him coming up the way he had, you know, he hasn't really had a full spring like that. 2020 was a weird one. 2021 was still cut short a little bit, not fully. And then, you know, last year as well, kind of cut off. So this is his first normal spring, at least when he's supposed to be expected to, you know, really do stuff for the Dodgers. And that counts for something. And, you know, like I said, for the Dodgers, what they count on him to be is just a 5-6 innings every fifth day type of guy. And, you know, ERA in 3, maybe 4, and basically give you a chance to win every time out. And that's really all you can ask for from him. Obviously, we've seen him perform better than that. And we've talked about him a lot last year with the metrics and everything else. And maybe he outperforms, you know, himself a little bit in terms of a little bit of luck, a little bit of whatever it is, you know, low BABIP, you know, outperforms his FIP, whatever the case is, but he's still always been good. And as we talked about with Julio a couple weeks ago, like there's just some guys that are always going to outperform, you know, the advanced stats, and they're always going to, you know, somehow be able to get outs when they need to, and, you know, get ground ball double plays in big situations and things like that. And, you know, with his main pitch being that split finger, that does help out getting him some ground balls. And, you know, he does pitch to contact a little bit more than being a big strikeout guy. But regardless of all that, like I said, he's been good, and he's not expected to be the Dodgers' top guy. You know, he's not expected to be an ace for the Dodgers. And so for him, it's just a matter of being there, being available. You know, last year, 24 starts, 130 innings. You know, this year he's probably going to shoot for the same, you know, or not the same, but a little bit more, you know, 25, 26 starts, 150 innings maybe, and, you know, working on that. And, you know, last year he, in 119 strikeouts, 130 innings. So, like I said, one of those I pitched contact. Actually, last year his FIP was 3.28, and he had a 2.14 ERA. So, like I said, he doesn't strike out a lot of guys. A lot of balls in contact, so that's going to, you know, hinder his thing. But the whip was 0.875. I mean, that's elite whip right there. You know, not really walking a lot of guys. 35 walks in 130 innings, that's pretty good. So there's still ways for him to improve as a pitcher. And if he can add that to being able to stay healthy, then, you know, the Dodgers are in a good spot. And I think where it's at for him is him knowing, one, full regular offseason, two, knowing that he has a role on this team and basically a rotation spot guaranteed. You know, that's also a big help. And, you know, knowing, I mean, not that he's ever had to be a savior, but knowing that he doesn't have to be that savior, and that's going to help out. And, you know, for Gonsolin, that's really all the Dodgers can ask for. And, you know, Roberts talked about it last year, and he said it's one of those things that you learn as the years go on and the players continue to play. So now we build up a foundation of what he can expect of himself and what we can expect. He was an all-star last year. We expect him to post and make starts and be good. And, yeah, that's basically what it comes down to for Gonsolin. We're looking forward to seeing him and seeing him thrive, but also seeing him be healthy and ready to go and you know, pushing himself a little bit, but also, you know, staying in with the results and, you know, staying within himself, you know, not trying to overextend himself or do too much. And from what we've seen, he's not going to do that. So Gonsolin, stay healthy. We look forward to 25, maybe 30 starts from you this year. Who knows? But that's what we can look forward to and hope that you get. So that's going to do it for Gonsolin talk. Andrew Friedman spoke and talked about a variety of different things, so we'll get into what he talks about. First, let's talk about LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Add your job and add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. It's very easy to create a job post on LinkedIn Jobs, and they got simple tools like screening questions, making it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who do you like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right. Finish up with some talk from Andrew Friedman. He weighed in on a few Dodger topics, spoke to the media. Now, obviously, one of the main things they asked him or they talked about was with Gavin Lux being injured and, you know, figuring out what they're going to do roster-wise. And he had some stuff to say. He said, well, quote, we'll definitely spend a lot more time talking about the various profiles that can fit. Spring training typically isn't the best time for those types of moves, but we'll have conversations and see what is possible and what is not. And yeah, I mean, this is basically, it is what it is. Losing a guy in spring, every so often you can get lucky where a team has some surplus at a position. Usually that position isn't shortstop. And, you know, if anything, the surplus at shortstop the past few years had been the Dodgers, but now, you know, they don't have that surplus. And it's one of those where Willy Adames is a name. Tim Anderson is a name. Both those guys are playing for teams that have playoff aspirations at the moment. Now, could those playoff aspirations dwindle as the season goes on and make them a little bit more available? That's possible. And that's maybe when the Dodgers would be able to do something. But right now in spring, those two teams have playoff aspirations, and they're not going to trade their starting shortstop because it doesn't benefit them. And they, you know, especially with the one extra playoff team this year, that they're, and knowing that one of the, that one extra playoff team, the Phillies last year, made it to the World Series, and the other, the 15 last year in the world, in the playoffs on the NL side, was the Padres, and they made it to the NLCS. You know, you can play for those positions and not really feel like you're losing any leverage. So that rules them out. There's other guys out there, but mostly are established or not, potentially not offensively good enough to beat out a Miguel Rojas and Chris Taylor sharing of shortstop. And basically, you know, the other, I don't have the exact quote here, but for what Friedman said was, if we're going to get someone, he's going to raise the profile of the roster, something like that, something to that extent, where basically is, if we're going to get a shortstop, he's going to be an everyday all-star caliber shortstop that, you know, makes us better overall. It's not going to be somebody that could make us better or is a slight upgrade over what we already have. Because, you know, defensively, Miguel Rojas is really good still. And you know, I don't know about best in the league, but he's definitely a top 10 defensive shortstop, I would imagine. Offensively, you know, less than that, but he can be decent offensively. And realistically, if everyone else is firing on all cylinders or at least playing to like 80, 85% of what they're expected to do, then, you know, having one spot in your lineup with sub standard offensive profile, it's okay. You know, you can get by, you can still be a good team, especially if he's bringing value defensively. You know, Chris Taylor has had a not hot start to spring, but, you know, looking a little bit better. Again, defensively, not as good as Rojas, but once he gets comfortable there, he was a natural shortstop when he came up. And offensively, he can bring you more than what Rojas brings. But again, we don't know if that's what they're going to get at him. But regardless, if, or like we talked about Outman earlier, if Outman can be a guy that gives you the production that Lux was expected to give you, then, you know, it lowers the need for offensive value at shortstop because you had getting that value somewhere else that you didn't expect. So, you know, there's a few different ways to go about it, but you know, I don't expect the Dodgers to do anything right now. Andrew Friedman seems like he doesn't expect the Dodgers anything right now. I feel like they're just going to roll with what they got until it becomes a real problem or until somebody becomes available and they can discuss that. So talking about the closer, Friedman said, I don't think it's a necessity. I think the most important question to answer is whether you think our bullpen is going to be really good, and we do. Then it's about the mindset of each one of those guys, keeping them in the best headspace to go out and have a lot of success. So, again, the same thing that everyone's been saying. Mark Pryor said it. Dave Roberts said it. There's no set closer. They believe in their bullpen. They believe their bullpen is going to be really good. And essentially, as long as they're communicating with guys, as long as guys know kind of what their role is, not going into the season, but even on a day-to-day basis, like Dave Roberts said, Dave Roberts is a guy that, you know, has dealt with this on the offensive side a lot, where he's like, you know what, today you're off the bench, or today, you know, you're, it's a lefty starting, you're starting. Today it's a righty starting, you're coming off the bench, you know, whatever the case. Or, hey, you know what, stay ready, we might need you in the later innings once they take out the starter. You know, things like that to different variety of guys over the years. Something similar to what he might do now with the bullpen, and you know, like, hey, you know what, be ready to maybe close it out today, or hey, you know what, maybe you pitched yesterday. If we need you today, it's going to be to close out, you know, in starting a fresh inning. Or hey, you've thrown the back the last 2 days. If we bring you in today, it'll maybe only be in case if we're up a few runs or down a few runs or whatever the case. You know, there, he's going to have that communication with his relievers, and I expect him to flourish in that role and flourish in the role of at least letting guys know. You know, I can't explicitly say I believe he's going to flourish in the role of managing the bullpen, but we'll see how that goes. But I do think him not being tied to a closer might help him grow as a manager, and I'm not mad about that. So Friedman talked about Julio and a possible extension or what's going on there. And he said, quote, "We think Julio loves being a Dodger, and I know we love having Julio as a Dodger. I think anytime you have that dynamic where the team really wants the player and the player really likes the team, I think it always increases the odds. But he's put himself in a great position to go out and do really well for himself and his family." And, you know, that's just a word jumble to say. We don't know. We aren't close with anything. And we're basically what it feels to me is like, we're going to let him be a free agent and hopefully we can retain him. And that's kind of the way it goes. And it also going to depend how the season goes. And, you know, if he pitches well enough again to be, you know, Cy Young candidate, ace of the staff, whatever, then yeah, he's going to make himself more money, but you know, maybe the Dodgers will be more interested. I don't know. Like, I really don't know. Andrew Friedman's not going to show his hand. You know, they say they love Julio. He says Julio loves the Dodgers. There's going to be various reports of Julio and his feelings toward the Dodgers. And we've already seen various reports of Julio and his feelings toward the Dodgers. Regardless of all that, he's going to go after money. And as he should, you know, he's a free agent. He's earned that right. And with knowing who his agent is, Scott Boras. Scott Boras is going to go out there and try to get him the most money he can or the best deal he can. And that doesn't necessarily always come from the Dodgers, just based on the past and how they like to operate. And it's one of those where with Walker Buehler coming back, with Gavin Stone and you know, Bobby Miller and even Ryan Pepiot kind of being that next tier, you know, how hard are they going to go after Julio, even if he has another great year? I don't know. And you know, it's not necessarily – I believe it's the same thing as every year. They're going to have a number that they're comfortable giving Julio, and if he goes above that number or someone else gives him more than that, then we're not going to see Julio as a Dodger. And that's just the reality of the situation. That's just how it goes. You can, you know, disagree with it. You can agree with it, whatever. But that's how the Dodgers operate. And, you know, for a team that's been in the playoffs the last 10 years – have traded a lot of prospects, have seen a lot of prospects graduate to the majors, have seen a lot of turnover on the roster over the years. It's hard to really argue with that formula. Although sometimes it, you know, it does suck, you know, losing guys that have been fans of for a while or have been with the team for a while, it sucks, but you know, sometimes that's the way you need it. And you need somebody that takes out the feelings of the situation a little bit and goes more with the facts and the stats and everything else. And, you know, the reality of the payroll and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, he's not going to say anything where there's not going to be an extension before the season. I believe Julio's going to go into free agency. And if the market isn't what he thinks, then I can see the Dodgers being able to get him. And if the market's, you know, he's going to be one of the best free agents available in general. And if people are ready to spend and he's there to be spent on, then I believe he's going to go somewhere else. And that's just how it is. So, all right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball for your second listen. Win your league by listening to Matt and Dom as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies. Find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You can also find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube by searching for Locked On Dodgers, which is how you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, if you're at home, tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.